All right, busy day today. Just had a conversation with somebody. I thought we have a lot of new people in this group. Usually when we have this many people come in, people say, this is not for me, and leave the group, which is fine. Give it caught on to it. This is a group where we are focusing our efforts, in contrary to some people's beliefs on what's more important in law enforcement, and that is ensuring that we are stopping, intervening, and interdicting folks who are committing crimes against society and beginning to prioritize what's the most important way to exercise our efforts. And somebody wrote to me and said, I'm having a negative amount of consent searches. So he's pulling cars over. He's asking for consent. He's not finding anything. To not go down that road, I said, seek the RES checklist. Make sure you're checking a bunch of those off and be sure that you know it's there when you get to that, when you have a bunch of those boxes checked. But it's not uncommon for somebody to say to me, I know that you've explained what you're looking for, what you see, reactions to presence, blah, blah. It's not based on a color, creed, religion, age, gender, anything like that. No bias reasons, right? But one great tool that you can all use and implement, especially if you can't come to training anytime soon and hear in person all the perspectives of what's how to be successful in this game if you're looking to increase your ability to take bad people out of society before they hurt society, whatever it may be, especially wanted people. So there's this theory, and it's practical, it's real. It's that when you are working and you didn't have time to understand what all the things that we're talking about being able to implement to affect criminal motor vehicle stops, sounds like right in my face, I'm going to the right a little bit. Here's some good advice. And by the way, let me preamble it by saying this. This is not advice to go out and be a hand job. This is practical advice. And the advice I'm going to give you is finding ways to compel identification from passengers of vehicles. Many of you stop cars and pay no attention to the passengers in the cars. And at times we do find drivers with warrants, but often they're not very egregious warrants. They're not crazy, outstanding NCIC, full extradition hits. The people who are driving or riding as passengers in vehicles will be those people more times than not. I'm not saying we're taking probability versus possibility, right? Everybody will begin to argue, well, what do you say? It's possible? Sure, anything is possible. It's possible for me to hit the lottery when I stop a quick check here and buy a scratch off now and make $1 million. The reality of it is probably not going to happen. So you need to begin to identify what are some of the statutes you can use to employ, enable to increase your ability to, or give you the ability to compel identification, which means force people to identify themselves because they're subject to a summons. And many states have seatbelt laws where the passengers are required to wear seatbelts. Front seat passengers, I think it's every state, but not every state has a rear seat, but a lot of states have rear seat passengers have to wear seatbelts too. What I also want to advocate to you is to go into your littering code, right? The littering code says, a lot of states, says you smoke a cigarette, gnash out the window, that's littering. Now what you're saying, that seems awful petty. Look, people who are really, really wanted are trying to lay low. They're not going to drive cars. You're only going to get these little opportunities to use those times to affect the ability to compel identification. And then when somebody refuses ID or gives you false information, you know what to do from there. And every state says the same thing. You can then take a law enforcement maneuver or procedure to ensure that the person you're speaking with is who they're speaking with, whether that's being now arresting them under some kind of false pretense or false identification. And so my advice is this. Shit, I'm pulling up to get gas, so the guy's going to interrupt us in a second. Lindy, my hair's messed up. So my advice is this. You want more arrests. You want more arrests. You want more CDS-related stats. You want to find more drugs. I promise you, if you run people and investigate passengers in motor vehicles, you will find people with warrants and search incident to arrest. You will discover contraband, guns, drugs. You will lead your agency on this tactic alone in the amount, maybe not sizable amounts of narcotics, but you will have, no question in my mind, the most amount of narcotics arrests out of everybody. And sometimes it will be sizable. Basically, by getting somebody search incident to arrest, they're going to have stuff on them. They're not there. They're not people who say, I'm wanted by the law. I'm not going to do anything wrong to get caught. No, they say, I'm not going to drive a car. I'm going to make sure that cops can't try to compel my identifications. I'm not going to put myself in situations like that. But they trip up. Hold on, I got to just get my stuff. Hey, how are you? Still regular? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's Jersey. We don't pump gas. You got a lot of time. So, strange. I wish you'd pump my own gas. Anyway, this is good practical advice for you to go out and employ. Now, I'm not saying go out and start writing tickets to everybody who's not wearing a seatbelt. If that's your forte, if that's what you think I'm getting at, it's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying use these violations as a vehicle to achieve a larger law enforcement objective. Listen, there's no question about it. If you follow this advice, you are going to be taking bad people off the street. You've seen it in this group. You haven't been here for a long time. We have amazing results at who we've apprehended. People wanted for 22 years, 5, 7 full extradition warrants, assaults on children. And if you can't put people who are wanted for assaulting children in your top priority, and you think somebody doing 14 over the speed limit is a higher priority than taking somebody out of the world or putting them in the penal system, back to criminal justice, into a jail cell who has done some crimes against children, I don't think this job's for you, and I don't think you understand what I'm saying. There are plenty of people out there that are ready to go to jail because they deserve to. So you need to begin to prioritize what your objectives are as a law enforcement officer. I always make this point. We only have so much time in the week to be proactive and productive. How are you spending that time? Are you using it to the best of your ability and ensuring that whatever energy you have is being used properly to achieve the greatest success? Some people don't have the ability, but look, you can't make an excuse about this. Literally have to be able to see if a passenger is wearing his seatbelt or her seatbelt or not. And here's another clue to help you hone in on skill. If they see you and they're nervous and they have a reaction to your presence, they're probably nervous for a reason. So that's a great way to go about it. I have a question for Josh Jay. So question for you. If you don't have PC for the name of the passenger and you ask he or she for their name and they say no, is there a specific way that you can ask again for it or just let it ride? In the 2-day program, we start going to a course or I just go over for about 30 minutes, a hindering apprehension in the name game section of my program, okay? There are many tools in the internet that will allow you, especially if you believe somebody's not going to give you their ID, they look like they're nervous, and you have no way to compel them. You can always ask, right? You can always run somebody for warrants. Unless you're in Minnesota, you can't. But we have programs that you can use. I mean, if you get skilled at social media, separating occupants of a vehicle and saying, making small talk, not giving away that you're suspicious, then asking some questions about the person in the car and saying, is he or she on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it may be, doing some research, not giving it away, not revealing that you're suspicious of the person in the car. Because let me tell you something, they're going to have, if you have a girl who's trying to hinder her husband or boyfriend or baby daddy or and vice versa, they're not going to give you much information. So play it real dumb. Don't seem suspicious and try to figure out ways that you can figure out who people are using this tool that you have in your hand. That's a phone. Before you even have to formally ask, because you don't want to give that away unless you have to. If they say no, that's the right. Remember, Heibel versus the Sixth District of Courts of Nevada, it's a U.S. Supreme Court case that says we need to have reasonable suspicion of a motor vehicle violation or a crime to compel identification. If you have that, then you can force ID and you can take criminal justice action, like making an arrest when refusing to get ID or when somebody begins to offer false information, right? Then you can employ those, if it's your law or case law or your court rules, to ensure that somebody's going to respond to a summons. When you think they're lying about who they are, that gives you probable cause to arrest them and bring them back to headquarters to fingerprint them. And every court says the same thing. When you come back to headquarters, it's just part of the judicial process to get fingerprinted and photographed. And then we can run them through AFIS and find out who they really are. Let me tell you something. Make sure you know what you're doing. But if somebody's really beginning to lie about who they are, they're probably wanted not breaking your balls, especially if you had 9 flags that went up. You know what I'm saying? All right, hold on. Let me give this guy a tip. All set, brother? Let me give you something. Hold on. Oh, okay. Here you go, dude. It's cold.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Yeah. So, hopefully this gave you... Sorry for the interruptions. Hopefully this gave you... I work in Minnesota. You mentioned you can't run for warrants. Can you elaborate on what you mean? If you email me, Oakley Easton, you guys in your state need reasonable suspicion to be able to run somebody for warrants. You can't do it in every other state. Like in New Jersey, you don't need reasonable suspicion to check somebody for warrants. An NCIC check by the police is not a search under the Fourth Amendment or Article 1, Paragraph 7 of our Constitution. And no other state so far that I've encountered is, except for Minnesota. And maybe somewhere in the rest of the other country, there in the northwest portions of the United States. I mean, literally out of their minds up there. If you're ever a criminal and you need to flee justice, Minnesota has your best interest at stake. Go there. But if you email me, dennis@streetcoptraining@gmail.com, I'll provide you with Minnesota case law, the whole program, but also specifically what you're looking for in the case that said you guys can't access NCIC without a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. It's fucking ludicrous. And they just protect their criminals in Minnesota. That's why you guys are in the state of affairs that you are as far as policing goes. It's a fucking disaster. And everybody who works there knows it. Your county attorneys don't know a fucking thing. Like, they're clueless. Nobody knows anything. It's crazy. Maybe there's some people that know some shit, but generally they're pretty bad. And it's the same everywhere, by the way. So look, take this information, use it properly. It's just some perspective. A lot of people don't get somebody to talk to or somebody at their agency who understands what police work actually is. And you'll become a product of your social environment. If you work at an agency that's very ticket heavy, you're going to go out and be a fucking ticket heavy writing motherfucker, right? That's what you're going to do. But when you have some outside perspective, you can see things in a different light. Like, oh, are tickets that important? Like, yeah, he's right. I do want to go out and go I know, dude. I'm sorry about Minnesota. I do want to go out and have a greater impact on society. I do have this time and I do possess the skills. So if you don't have perspective, that's what you come here to do. You're getting perspective on things. And if you're not seeing this arbitrarily and why it's important that I'm advocating this, this probably isn't for you, this group. And that's okay. You can just remove yourself. But people that are here, part of the Street Cop Training Group and what this means and what this logo means for everybody, you know, this is how we do things here. This is the type of people we are, and this is the stuff that we do. So it's not for everybody, but for the people who's here, it means the world to them that they're getting this information out so they can help them better progress in law enforcement. I mean, we got guys in this group who get zero training in the middle of nowhere, and this is the only thing they have as a resource. It's rewarding for me to be able to provide some different perspectives and thoughts on things, even if you can't make it to a training course. It doesn't matter. We just want to make sure you have the tools you need to go out and apprehend criminals, do the best that you can, and don't get killed in the line of duty. We'll see you.